So my name is Melissa. I serve as pastor here, and we're glad that you're here tonight. We're going to begin in prayer. I want to give an update that I shared in the weekly email this week. Amanda Craig, who is a part of our staff team here, back at the end of May, she experienced a really bad infection deep in her inner ear. And it has caused her to lose a little bit of hearing, to be unable to walk, and really to function. And so she's going to be taking a medical leave for about 12 weeks. Her boy, Elijah, is here tonight. Elijah, we love your family. We've been praying for you guys. It's just been such a sudden health crisis for her and for Kirk and their whole family. And so as they come to mind, if you'd be praying for them. Also, Donna Clark Love, who's been a member of this community, has been hospitalized recently and has really faced health challenges related to digestive system and her heart. And so I know that there's just a lot that is being carried in this community. And so could we offer another prayer tonight? So Jesus, come and walk among your community. Place your healing hand upon Amanda and Donna. Place your healing hand upon others in this room tonight that are experiencing some just physical weakness. We pray for those that are caring for them and love them, that you would give them the endurance and perseverance they need. We pray that you would fill the gap of resources. And Jesus, when the healing comes, we promise to give you all honor and praise and glory. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, last week, we preached about Jesus' first miracle recorded in the Gospel of John. And tonight, we're going to talk about another miracle that took place just a few chapters later. The series this last week and this week is called Come and See. I think sometimes faith, we begin to get kind of wrapped up in philosophically, what does it mean, or how do we make sense of God, or we look at all of the chaos going on in the world and we wonder, is God awake? Does God exist? I pulled a quote from the 12 and 12, the 12 steps and 12 traditions, because sometimes I have a hard time having faith. What about you? It says, for those who don't have faith or believe in God, don't worry. The seeming hoop of faith to jump through is wider than you think. So this may have been another week where it feels like you've jumped through a lot of hoops and like, how do I have faith? How do I continue on this journey? What does it mean? God, who are you, and are you even at work? And my prayer for us tonight is we will once again read a miracle that Jesus performed, and we could come and see with our own eyes, hear with our own ears what God is doing here and now. So come and see. The passage tonight is going to be from John chapter 5. It's one of several occasions that Jesus goes to Jerusalem. Now, in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, each of those writers are telling the story of who Jesus is and what Jesus was about in a slightly different way. In the Gospel of John, it is all about the signs and the wonders. Now, we believe that Jesus' public ministry was about 3 years long. Why? Well, they recorded a calendar and marked off every day and then buried it. No. The reason we believe Jesus' ministry was about 3 years long is that in the Gospel of John, it shows or it tells of Jesus going up to Jerusalem three different times for the Passover. And that's where we get the understanding that if he went to the Passover three times, that it was about a 3-year ministry that Jesus was in. And in those 3 years. It says at the end of the Gospel of John in chapter 21, look, we've only written down a few of the things that Jesus did and the miracles that Jesus performed and the just beautiful, reckless love of God that was breaking out. We only wrote down a few of them. If we tried to write down all of them, there's not a library big enough to hold all those stories. I'm grateful for that. I'm grateful that God's reckless love and the miracles of God are still continuing today, and those stories are still being written. So tonight's passage is a long one. Let's just go back to our school days. Put on your listening ears. Everybody put on your listening ears. And more than that, if this is a passage you've heard before, I pray that you would have the eyes of your heart open tonight so that you could see. Stephanie is going to come. Not only does she memorize scripture, but she's going to read it for us. So encourage her as she comes.
Okay, here we go. We're going to do John chapter 5, verse 1 through 20. It's up there, right? Yeah. Okay. After this, there was a Jewish festival, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. In Jerusalem, near the Sheep Gate in the north city wall, is a pool with the Aramaic name Bethesda. Bethesda? Bethesda? Okay, I'm sorry. It had five covered porches and a crowd of people who were sick, blind, lame, and paralyzed sat there. A certain man was there who had been sick for 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there, knowing that he had already been there a long time, he asked him, "Do you want to get well?" The sick man answered, "Sir, I don't have anyone who can put me in the water when it is stirred up. When I'm trying to get to it, someone else has gotten in ahead of me." Jesus said to him, "Get up, pick up your mat, and walk." Immediately the man was well, and he picked up his mat and walked. Now that day was the Sabbath. The Jewish leaders said to the man who had been healed, "It's the Sabbath. You aren't allowed to carry your mat." He answered, "The man who made me well said to me, 'Pick up your mat and walk.'" They inquired, "Who is this man who said to you, 'Pick up and walk'?" The man who had been cured didn't know who it was because Jesus had slipped away from the crowd gathered there. Later, Jesus found him in the temple and said, "See, you have been made well. Don't sin anymore in case something worse happens to you." The man went and proclaimed to the Jewish leaders that Jesus was the man who had made him well. As a result, the Jewish leaders were harassing Jesus since he had done these things on the Sabbath. Jesus replied, "My Father is still working, and I am working too." For this reason, the Jewish leaders wanted even more to kill him, not only because he was doing away with the Sabbath, but also because he called God his own Father, thereby making himself equal with God. Jesus responded to the Jewish leaders, "I assure you that the Son can't do anything by himself except what he sees the Father doing. Whatever the Father does, the Son does likewise. The Father loves the Son and shows him everything that he does. He will show him greater works than these so that you will marvel." Thank you.
Thank you, Stephanie. I want to propose to you tonight that there are two miracles going on in this story. There's probably more than two. I'm going to talk about two of them. The result of the two miracles is the same. Jesus says, after the miracle happens, get up. The word here is a word that we typically use for rise up, of a resurrection, stand up. There are two miracles that happen in the story tonight. For most of my life, I've read this passage, and one of those miracles has been incredibly clear. For whatever reason, I saw a second miracle this week. So, what have we seen in this passage? It says Jesus was going to a Jewish festival. He goes up to Jerusalem. Now, for the geography and history nerds in the crowd, you will say, how can you go up somewhere if you're heading south? Right? You don't say, you know what? I'm going up to Mexico next week. You say what? I'm going down to Mexico next week. It's south. Jesus heads from Galilee and heads south, and it says he's going up to Jerusalem. It's an important piece of information to pay attention to. It's a statement about geography. Jesus is heading south, but as far as elevation, he is going up. That's why when you read the book of Psalms and you read towards the end of the collection of that poetry of the book of Psalms, there's an entire section called the Psalms of Ascent. I like to read some of those Psalms as I'm going to Colorado, because it is, you're ascending away from sea level. Jesus is going up to Jerusalem. He is going up in geographical elevation, but a really important piece of information here, Jesus is going to what was considered the very hub, the center, the very presence of where God lived. And you remember the invitation that Jesus has to any of those that would be curious about what he is up to. He says, come and see. So he goes to Jerusalem. It says that he sets up near or enters through the sheep gate in the northern part of the city to a pool with the Aramaic name Bethesda. Now, I went back and looked. You know, we just read Nehemiah back in May. The sheep gate was rebuilt in Nehemiah chapter 3. It was probably destroyed several more times before the time of Jesus. But you can go to Jerusalem today and you can enter through the sheep gate. And you can make your way, a group of us from Mercy Street in 2019, before the world changed. We entered into Jerusalem, and we actually visited the space that was excavated in 1967, that you can go to this pool of Bethesda today. It's not nearly as ornate as it was in the time of Jesus. It describes it as having five porticos, and maybe you can picture, maybe you can even hear the sounds of the people that were gathering there. The sick, the blind, the lame, the paralyzed. The name of the pool was called Bethesda, which in Hebrew means house of mercy. In Aramaic, it means house of shame. Sometimes the space in between mercy and shame is a blurred line. It was not a house of shame because these folks were paralyzed or blind or lame. It was a house of shame because community, the people, the very church that was supposed to care about them had forgotten. So Jesus goes up to the place in which God is revealed, the very presence of God going to the place of God. And can you hear the sights and the sounds of what's going on here? The porticos that are all entryways to this pool. In our day and age, we still have some hot springs that are considered to be healing waters, that if you go and soak in them, that will never be on my bucket list. For numerous reasons. Not that I don't believe in healing waters, but, I like to... Why am I even going into this? You know, I don't want to see people in their birthday suits soaking in the healing waters. It's just not on my list. My gosh, I said it last week, stick to the notes. So imagine the scene with me. It's outdoors. There are these five arches and porticos. There are hundreds, more than likely, men and women that are gathered around. In certain areas of Houston, maybe you have seen these gatherings, these spaces where you know folks are just, they're paralyzed. They're hungry. There are entire encampments under I-45 and I-59 near Minute Maid Park. But friends, I have also been in the wealthiest country club in Houston, and I have been around folks who are paralyzed and hungry and maimed and lost. There were hundreds of them gathered there. Some had been coming to that spot for months, years, or decades. And you can hear them talking and chattering. They're talking about the weather, the latest news. Some of them are talking about how they haven't seen their families in a while because they were kicked out. This particular man had been coming there for 38 years. And yes, Dad, I did the math, but I had a little plus sign. I didn't do the leap years. But anyway, 18,000 something days. Every single day, there's someone new who arrives to the Pool of Bethesda, and people tell them, yeah, this is a place of mercy, and it's also a place of shame, because that is how God operates, is in the brackish waters, a mixture of salt and fresh. Every single day, a new person comes. They have heard of the healing potential, and those that have been coming for a while say, yeah, healing's possible, but don't get your hopes up. On this particular day, though, there is a man that enters the area of the Pool of Bethesda. There's something about his presence that is unlike anyone else. Just the very nature of how he moves among the crowd just invites this sense of respect and authority. Have you been around someone like that, that in their presence you just feel welcomed and calm and seen? And as this man who is probably maybe welcoming a newcomer and saying, don't get your hopes up, Jesus pulls up a square of cement next to him and sits down. Now, Jesus could have performed the healing miracle by playing duck, duck, goose. There were plenty of people that needed healing that day. Jesus could have just gone around in his flip-flops and said, duck, duck, duck. Spanish, pato, 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 and just pick somebody, anybody, and said, healed, you, congratulations. But for whatever reason, Jesus does not approach the man and stand over him, but Jesus comes alongside this guy who has lost all hope, has a seat next to him, and says, what's up? And maybe the man thinks, I don't know, maybe this guy's blind or has some other ailment, and he might be my competition to get in the water. When we are so deep in our pain and we meet someone else that maybe is hurting, sometimes it just feels like a competition. But Jesus begins to have a conversation with the man and says, what's going on? And then he asks him the question, the million-dollar question, do you want to be made well? At this point, you know the man is probably like, what do you think I'm doing here? Clearly, this guy needs to be cured of blindness because I'm here. I want to be healed, right? Jesus says, do you want to be made well? The man responds, I don't have anybody. He shares his poverty of relationships, of physical strength, and perhaps spiritual isolation. He doesn't answer the question, though. And Jesus says to him, stand up, get up, take your mat and walk. I know that healing comes by faith. I believe that. I'm just so grateful that it depends upon the faith of the community and the body of Christ. It depends upon the faithfulness of Jesus. Because in this moment, that man doesn't really display any sort of amount of faith that we know of that is recorded. But remember the quote, if you just have that hoop of faith to jump through is bigger than you think. This man, there was something in him that did desire to be made well, but he had lost hope. And it's into that very space that Jesus enters and performs a miracle. Says to the man, stand up, you are made well. Newsflash, he didn't even know it was Jesus. And Jesus performs the miracle out of the reckless abundance of who Jesus is and who God is. My friends, tonight, what is your desire? Is there something that is ailing you? And to hear that question tonight from Jesus, do you desire to be made well? And it's not a question that Jesus is forcing upon you. It's not forced upon you as a test. It is a question that Jesus asks us to begin to name and identify the deep longings in our heart. To name, as this man did, the spaces of poverty. Jesus, I do desire, but it doesn't seem possible. I desire healing, but it seems to come for others, not me. I desire healing, but it seems that it's passed me by. And in this miracle, this first miracle that happens tonight, what Jesus displays is the heart of God. Is that God is not waiting for us to figure it out, to have enough faith. God is asking us to show up and to name our poverty, to name our weakness. Some of us can relate to the man because we feel as if we are rebuilding our circle of friendship and trust and hope. You've taken that first step of at least showing up at the house of grace, the pool of grace. But you wonder, after I'm made well and after I'm healed, what do I have to return to? Well, I think that's the second miracle that Jesus performs. So if the first miracle is Jesus heals this man who had been paralyzed, unable to move, who had been kind of ostracized, Jesus heals him and restores him. The man doesn't even know who it is. They have another encounter when they're both getting donuts and coffee in the temple a little bit later. I mean, this is a church experience, right? That's where all good. Nope. Okay. Coffee and cookies. And the man discovers, this is Jesus. I've heard about this. Can anything good come out of Nazareth? That Jesus? Joseph's boy? What? Now that this man is healed, where will he go? Well, I think that's the second miracle, as I said. The second miracle that I think Jesus performs here is he begins to heal the hearts of the Pharisees. Not all of them, as it says, Jesus began to speak truth, and they actually became even more enraged with him, plotting his death. But for some of those Pharisees, I believe the second miracle that happened is Jesus healed their hearts. I hope if you are in need of healing tonight, physical, emotional, spiritual, that you will receive that from Jesus. With an urgency and a conviction and with tears, I pray that Jesus would perform the second miracle tonight. You see, because what's going on here is, as soon as the Pharisees find out this miracle that has happened, they see the man carrying his yoga mat, his mat with him. They say, whoa, 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 breaking the rules. On the Sabbath. For us, that doesn't really mean a lot, but even in modern day Jerusalem, if you go to Jerusalem on the Sabbath and you get in an elevator, every button is pushed already because you don't even lift a finger on the Sabbath. The Sabbath is holy. The Sabbath is the day to remind us that we are not machines, we are human beings. And in that day and age, to break the Sabbath was it was a big deal. And the Pharisees can't even see the healing that has happened because they're focusing on the broken rule. Because in that day and age, for the Pharisees, they had gotten so tied up in building their community of the things that they stood against rather than the things that they were standing for. They built their community not looking to see, as Jesus said, I only do what I see my Father doing, and my Father chose that this man today would walk and be healed. I don't care that it's the Sabbath. He's been plagued and paralyzed his entire life, and today is the day that he gets to get up and is restored. I think Jesus performs a miracle on some of the hearts of the Pharisees. They were supposed to be the very people who represented the temple, the very body of Christ, the church that we are today. Jesus says, you're too busy building your understanding of God, thinking about what God is against. Open up your eyes and see what God is doing for life and healing and justice. Jesus didn't do away with any of the political fighting that was going on between the Roman Empire and the Jews, but he placed himself right in the middle of it. Jesus didn't abolish the civil laws that were literally killing the people of God, but he called a community of faith to be set apart and to pursue justice. He called a priesthood of believers to love their enemy. He called us, Matthew chapter 25. You want to know who the sheep are of Jesus? They visit the imprisoned. They provide care, life-saving health care for the sick. They feed the hungry. The people of God get up and walk. And they provide the very community that welcomes people home after they have experienced healing. So I think there were two miracles going on this day. Not only a healing for this man, but also a healing of the community that was meant to welcome him home. And friends, that's us, the church today. After the news of the past week and after the news of the past years, I'm not trying to make a covert statement in tonight's sermon at all. I'm trying to read the Word of God and take it seriously for myself and be a vessel to offer it to you. And so, friends, whether you need healing in your own life or we as a community need the healing to remember that we are called to be the very people to have our eyes open and to join God in the work that God is doing. I want to give you three examples this past week. They feel small. This past week, I indulge in by Starbucks once or twice a week. Not every week, but regularly. I was going to pick up my mobile order at my Starbucks. And there's a woman that lives in our neighborhood. The streets are her home. And from my understanding, the streets have been her home for at least the 7 years I've lived in the area, probably longer. The hotter the temperatures get, the more difficult it is, I would imagine, for her to live on the streets. So as I pulled into the parking lot, there's an HEB there and a Starbucks, and her life literally had tumped over. I saw a gentleman who pulled over in his little SUV, got out of his car, and together they were trying to right-size her shopping cart that was full to the brim and overflowing. And I just wept. I thought, here, this is community, this is neighbor, this is something that is so small, but like there's no way she could have lifted it. And so together they lifted it. Example number two, again, it feels small. I got a phone call this past week from my insurance agent. Not exactly the type of calls that at the end you feel like I've experienced God's grace. Unless you're making a claim and they fulfill it. And in that case, praise Jesus. She was calling because I had not renewed a policy. And honestly, it was like it got put on the back burner of the back burner. of the back burner. Anybody feel me? Like, I don't have time to think about this policy. I took a breath before responding because for whatever reason, when I get tired and agitated, my place is not a paralyzing amount of fear. I get angry. So I breathed and I said, so-and-so, I'm intentionally not fulfilling that policy for the next year. I said, I don't have time to think about it. I'm cutting corners in some spaces. Obviously not everywhere. I'm still going to Starbucks, but I said, you know, I don't have time to think about it. Thank you for the call. Thank you for the reminder. You can call me in a year. I got home late last night. I checked my mailbox once a week. There was a card with the cutest puppy on the front. And it said, I hope your days get better. And the inside, it was her name. She works at State Farm, just on the phone. Healing. There's generosity out there. The third example happened today. So watching a neighbor care for another neighbor, watching someone who had no obligation to be nice to me or to take the time to put a, have you heard of it, stamp on a card and mail it to me. Third example, I'm at Half Price Books today selling a stack of books. I get like 37 cents in return. You feel me? I'll take the 37 cents. Yes, all of it. And will you just discard of the other books? Because this passage had been living in me all week long, thinking about places where I was seeing God at work, doing greater things than what is described here, greater things like, yes, neighborhoods and communities can come together. Yes, generosity is something that can be given extravagantly and doesn't run out. So I was thinking about all of that, and I'm standing in line to get my, you know, pocket change. And the gentleman behind me, who I could tell in the store had just been agitated, I hear him say, you just had to eat the apple, didn't you? What? I'm the only person around. I'm like, I don't know whether to look around. Here's the miracle. I didn't engage. Sometimes that's a miracle, you feel me? For whatever was just hurting him, I mean, 24, 48 hours later, before I got the puppy card, I would have turned around and said, I'll tell you what you can do with your apples. You want to, how about them apples? Well, I don't know what you're talking about, but. You just had to go and eat the apple. You know, I even went to my car and I waited for him to come out. And I'm like, no, just keep driving. Just leave the parking lot. There may be a lot that you're carrying these days. What is it you really desire? What is the healing you desire for yourself, for someone that you care about, for this broken and hurting world? And let me guarantee you, God's heart and God's desire, that Jesus is continuing to have an eye on the Father, on God, and we as the body of Christ keep our eyes fixed on Jesus, and so we do the things that we see God doing, which is justice and mercy and grace and compassion and kindness and, my goodness, putting a little stamp on a card. Helping a neighbor carry in their groceries. It feels small, but it is the very things that bring healing in our lives and helps us get up. Amen?